If you'd like to turn your Bibles to Job 13 and verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. I've always wanted to read the Bible through chronologically. You know, typically whenever I do Bible reading programs, I start at Genesis and do it the conventional way of just reading it all the way through. Well, this year, and in fact, just in the past couple of weeks, I've decided to actually read it chronologically. And so you read it based on the timeline of when the books were written, and it kind of helps you get a better feel for the flow of the book. So the past few days, about a week or so, I've been in the book of Job. And in Job 13, verse 15, we find a statement that's really stuck with me for the past few days. Job 13, verse 15, Job says, "Though he, referring to God, slay me, yet will I trust him." Think about that for a minute. Though God slay me, yet I will trust him. Now we know, because we know the rest of the story, that Job had a misunderstanding, a very fundamental misunderstanding of what was actually taking place. He believed, and something that he's expounded upon throughout the rest of the book so far, Job is adamant that he hasn't done anything wrong. He maintains his innocence. You know, give me my 5 minutes with God. Give me my day in court. I want to plead my case. I want to talk to God because I feel like I'm being dealt with unfairly. I feel like I'm being punished when I haven't done anything wrong. Job maintains his innocence. And yet he feels like essentially God is picking on him for doing something that he didn't do. So Job misunderstands because he believes that the fault lies with God, that God essentially pulled the trigger on all these terrible things that's taking place in his life, where we know the full story, and in all reality, we don't know if Job ever learned the true story. We don't know if Job ever found out what really was taking place behind the scenes, because God surely doesn't tell him at the end of the book. So Job, you have a misunderstanding, yet the commitment, and that's what we want to talk about tonight, is his commitment that he echoes in this verse is still admirable. Despite the fact that it's based on a misunderstanding, it's still an amazing level of commitment. Though God slay me, though in my perspective, I feel like he's treating me unfairly, though I don't think it's right what I'm having to go through, though I don't think it's just, though I don't think I deserve it, though God slay me, though he take the final thing that I have left, my life, though he take that from me, yet I will hope in him, yet I will trust him, the New King James Version says. That's amazing. You know, you talk to people and 9 times out of 10, don't quote me on that statistic. I don't have any data for that, but usually whenever we suffer as people, what's one of the first things to go? Our trust in God. Why would God let this happen to me? Why is it my job? Why is it my kid that's sick? Why is it my marriage? Why is it fill in the blank? We many times we're very quick to point the finger at God and shake our fist proverbially at the sky and say, "God, why me? Why are you doing this to me?" But Job has the attitude that says, regardless of what takes place, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to maintain my confidence in his goodness, in his concern for me. We're going to look at 3 more passages tonight, one more that kind of solidifies this principle in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at 2 passages in the New Testament that are more so application geared. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk 3. We find a very similar statement at the end of the book of Habakkuk that I've always thought was interesting. Habakkuk 3, read with me in verse 17 and 18. I love this passage. Habakkuk says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." Now watch it. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." It's that same attitude. Except this time Habakkuk is essentially saying, though I don't have anything, you know, no, there's no food. there's no animal in the stalls to eat. There's nothing growing in the fields, you know. Nothing is going right. We don't even have the basic fundamentals of what we need to live. What does he say? We're going to rejoice in the Lord. We're not only going to trust him, we're going to rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let's take that principle and let's bring it forward to us today. Turn to Luke 9. Luke 9. I think of men like Job and Habakkuk, and that level of commitment is amazing to me. That attitude that essentially says, regardless of what happens, I'm locked in. You know, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm not leaving. It doesn't matter what I lose. It doesn't matter what's taken from me or who does the taking. I'm not going to leave the Lord. I'm not going to be unfaithful. I might trip. You know, I'm going to have my moments where I stumble. I make mistakes, but I'm not going to wallow in the darkness, as it were. I'm not going to leave the Lord. Consider Luke 9. Begin with me in verse 23. We're going to be reading down through verse 26. Then he, speaking of Jesus, said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." If you need a quick sermon outline, a good breakdown of that passage, in verse 23 we have death to self. Death to self. The second part of verse 23 is death to sin. Death to sin. Verse 24 is death to security. And verse 26 is death to shame. Death to shame. Whenever we became Christians, whenever we claimed discipleship, that commitment that we find so amazing in Habakkuk and Job is actually what we claimed. It's the promise that we made whenever we became Christians. Whenever I put on Christ in baptism, the commitment I made was, I'm not going to put my hand to the plow and look backward. I'm not going to go back on my commitment. I'm not going to leave the Lord. This is an all or nothing proposition. This isn't something that I'm going to do for a few months and then fall away because I don't feel like doing this anymore. For the rest of my life, whenever I became a Christian, I said, this is something I'm going to do. This is a commitment I'm making. And from now on, not only me, but my family is going to be following the Lord. Look at one more passage. Turn to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. I love this passage, and I know it's a passage that many, if not most of us, could quote. But I think it bears reading. Revelation 2:10. Jesus says to the church at Smyrna, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, that is, symbolically for a short time. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Many times whenever we hear that passage being quoted, Revelation 2:10, the way that it's quoted is, if you're faithful until you die, then you'll receive the crown of life. That is, you know, you're in your bed, in your hospital bed, you're surrounded with your friends and family, and you've reached 95 years of age, and you have no pain, but it's time for you to go. And so your final days, you're talking about your favorite memories with your family. That's not what it's talking about. It's not saying be faithful until you die. It's saying be faithful even if being faithful is what makes you die. Be faithful to the point of death. Be faithful even if your relationship with the Lord is what's making you die. Be faithful even then. That's the promise that we made. Almost every single one of us in this room made that commitment. I'm going to be faithful. I want that crown of life. I want to have that relationship with the Lord that lasts throughout eternity. So hopefully tonight our goal is simply to reflect on our commitment, is to think about the promise that we made. Another verse that I like is Psalm 37 and verse 5. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord." Commit your way to the Lord. Don't be double-minded, James 1 and verse 8. Don't waffle in your commitment. Choose who you will serve, Joshua 24 and verse 15. Another one of my favorite passages that coincide with this very nicely is 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. Whenever Elijah is out on Mount Carmel with the children of Israel, and he says, "How long will you go limping between two opinions?" That is, you want to hold on to the Lord, but you want to hold on to Baal, and you're doing both very poorly. You're limping between two opinions. You're doing both of them very badly. So just choose one. Just be consistent. Make a commitment to one, and then just follow through with that commitment. Don't go limping between two opinions. Be consistent. Meditate on the commitment that we made to Jesus, that for the rest of my life, not only me, but my family, we're going to be faithful. And I'm going to do my best to make sure that everyone around me is headed in that direction as well. That's the commitment that we made. So let's meditate on that commitment this week. For the rest of this week, let's meditate on the promise that we made to be faithful. To overcome temptation, yes, but that's the foundation. If I come to the point in my life where I think that I'm overcoming temptation, therefore God is pleased with me, that's not the goal. That's the foundation. That's the first layer, is overcoming temptation. Beyond that, we have to grow. Beyond that, we have to grow in God's service. We have to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We have to grow closer with the Lord. It doesn't stop at just no longer lying, no longer using profanity. That's the foundation. We have to move beyond that. So meditate on your commitment with the Lord, and hopefully we'll do better this week than we did last week. If you're here this evening and you've made that commitment, but you've fallen back, you're limping between two opinions. You wanna be like the world, you want that assurance, you know, the comfort and the pleasure that comes with living the way that the world does. But you also want to be right with the Lord. You can't have both. You cannot serve both God and the world simultaneously. You're gonna have to choose. I forget the quote. What is the quote that goes along the lines of to not choose is to choose? I should have looked that up before. It just occurred to me. But not making a decision is, in essence, making a decision. To meditate on that this week. If you're here and you've gone back on your commitment, please make that right. We all struggle. We all make mistakes. But we need to make sure that we are refreshed in our commitment to the Lord. If you're here and you've never made that commitment, It's something that we want you to do, but at the same time, it's something that's very heavy because it is a commitment. It is a promise that for the rest of my life, I'm not going to go back. You know, I'm not going to look behind me. I'm going to put my hand to the plow and we're going to push forward come what may. If you're here this evening and you need to do that, we'd love to help you. The process by which that is achieved, the process by which you can come into contact with the blood of Jesus, is by hearing the Word of God preach, Romans 10:17. By believing the things that you've heard, Mark 16:15-16. Confess that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God, Romans 10:10. Repent of your sins, not just saying that you're sorry, but actually making restitution, Acts 2:38. It's at that point in time that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, 1 Peter 3:21. You'll put on Christ in baptism, and you'll be a member of His family. You'll be a disciple, and you will have made that commitment to serve Him for the rest of your life. Wherever you are, we'd love to help you. As we stand and as we sing.